Hello, Rock and Roll Rebels, and welcome to another episode of Ramble On with Rosie. As I discussed in a episode back in March, I discovered a concert album of Joe Strummer with the Pogues, and so now I'm going to finally talk about that this week, because it's been on my mind, and the CD's been in my car since then. So, without further ado, we're going to dig into that, because the 8th anniversary of its Record Store Day release just rolled around this past week, or rather earlier this week, so well worth talking about at any time, and now I have the occasion to do so. So, a little bit of a backstory to Joe Strummer's collaboration with the Pogues, because there's a couple times he did it, but when he filled in for the lead singer, Shane McGowan, it was under fairly sudden circumstances. It had been a development in the last couple weeks before this tour that they were going to get somebody besides their founder and frontman, Shane McGowan, to sing lead vocals. Whether the band had decided formally to fire him yet, and they just weren't telling the public or not, I can't say for sure. All I know is that about 5 dates into the tour, in 1991, when they were playing in Toronto, there's a television interview with the band, and they are at least claiming that he's simply out for medical reasons and stayed back in London and wasn't really feeling inspired or in good enough health to come sing on the tour, and that's why they got Joe. Which, not really quite sure how truthful they were being, because a month later, when they were playing in Germany in November, it was pretty much public knowledge that Shane McGowan would not be returning to the Pogues, which caused some uproar amongst diehard Pogues fans, as it would. You know, your founding frontman, who you're used to fronting this band, is no longer there. I mean, not sure that they had anything against Joe particularly, but simply he's not who they were expecting and or wanted, you know, because they wanted the main dude. So when they played in Germany, there was actually members of the crowd were chanting for Shane before the concert. After a couple songs, though, most of them had stopped chanting, and by after song number 2 or 3, Joe got up and stood on the barrier between the stage and the audience, and in true Strummer style, confronted the remaining people chanting for Shane in his usual blunt manner, and said, "Who's going to help me fight? Who's going to help me beat these guys up?" Which I think that shut the guys up, and if that didn't, certainly Joe's knockout performance would shut anybody up, because he does a really good job with these songs. Like, I enjoy this album immensely. Obviously, if you follow my Instagram at all, you know I love my Irish folk music, because that's all I talked about for March. One song every day. So, and I, in fact, I did do a Pogue song. I did the Story of Young Ned of the Hill. I was trying to think of the title. I think that is the title. I was just sort of like, the song about hating on Cromwell and wanting him to burn in hell. That's pretty much what the song is about. It's a giant diss track on Oliver Cromwell. Written in the 20th century, which proves that, you know, some grudges die really hard, of course. Annihilating an entire town like Cromwell did Drogheda might cause some long-term generational bitterness between people from Ireland and Cromwell's legacy. But moving on from discussion of the leader of the English Commonwealth, back to the music. Side note on Joe standing up for himself is that it's such a Joe thing. Not just flat out confronting them and being like, "Hey, who wants to help me beat these guys up?" But I mean, Joe stood up for openers who opened for The Clash and people who would open for him solo, who would get booed because people wanted, you know, the main act, and he'd come out and chastise them. And I feel like that's the same energy here, where it's just like, no, you know, I deserve respect, and the band, the Pogues, deserve respect for their choice in picking me as their, front man to fill in for Shane. So shut up and enjoy the music and let that speak for itself rather than, coming in with these preconceived notions, which, such a characteristically Joe thing to do. And honestly, I don't know how the Pogues could have picked a better fill-in front man than Joe. He had already toured with the band in 1987 when rhythm guitarist Phil Chevron was out with an ulcer, which it's just how he got that job alone is wild. Like, Phil Chevron invited him over of an afternoon to teach him the guitar parts, and like the next day he had to play in a Pogues gig. And so he had all had his crash course lesson with Phil, and then in tiny little print, because I've seen a photo of it, he a long strip of paper taped all the notes for the guitar parts to the songs on the well, it would be the upper part of the body of the acoustic, so you've got like that 4 inches of width to the acoustic body, and so the sheet of paper was like 4 inches top to bottom if you're playing the guitar, and about a foot or two foot to a foot and a half long, with all these tiny very little, because if you've seen Joe Strummer's handwriting, it's very neat, much neater than you'd expect, neat handwriting with all the guitar parts that he would need to have in case he got lost. I mean, might be easy to do when you've had an afternoon to learn this entire part. I will try to post the picture on my Instagram with Joe, where he's posing with this guitar with the notes taped to it. It will probably be for Music Crush Monday because, not gonna lie, this is the new background on my phone. Joe's quite smashing looking in it. But moving on from my giddy girlish crush on Joe Strummer to the actual musical content of my show, the important things. Attraction is irrelevant. Like I was saying, the Pogues could not have done much better than Joe for a replacement, because not only had he filled in for Phil, he had also produced their latest album, their 1990 album of Hell's Ditch. And, he filled in 91 and 92 for Shane as lead singer. So he produced the last album that Shane sang on, and then promptly filled in as lead singer as the band sort of dealt with some personnel change-ups and whatnot. So to the actual album, which can be found as the Record Store Day release or on the 30 Years Anthology of the Pogues. The concert has like 22 songs in it, 14 of which Joe sings the lead vocals on. He does some fairly prominent backing vocals on a couple other songs. And of those 14 songs he sings, four are Clash songs. Well, really only two are, but the other two are Clash staples, even if the Clash did not write them. Because I Fought the Law, obviously, the Clash did not write, but it's one of their signature songs. Same way with Brand New Cadillac. And this version in the concert of I Fought the Law that Joe Strummer does with the Pogues, I Fought the Law sounds brilliant with the traditional arrangement, I mean, the traditional instruments, rather. Maybe it's because it is such an older song that it, has stronger roots in, traditional music, even though it was still kind of a rockabilly number when it came out. Regardless, the version of I Fought the Law from this concert is really good. Has some really standout accordion that gives it an almost Zydeco flavor, which, Cajun girl that I am, I love me some Zydeco, especially because it's so dang danceable. And I think if you look back on my Instagram, which incidentally, if you don't follow me, it's at RambleOnWithRosie, I did a little video on Joe's song Shouting Street for the very same reason that it has a Zydeco kind of flavor to it, and also went on a small tangent on the sort of impact on American musical genres that the unwanted Catholic population had, aka things like Zydeco being from the Cajuns, mariachi from the, you know, Spanish, and, you know, Hispanic influences, and, you know, Irish Catholics with their, you know, Irish folk music, and all those sort of kind of being similar, and especially coming together to sort of form, you know, Zydeco in a way. It's sort of a mix of a lot of those, which would make sense where it comes from. But anyways, if you want a fuller detail on my musical hypothesis there, check out my Instagram. If not, we'll get back to Brand New Cadillac, the other song that they cover that's a Clash song that the Clash didn't write. And it stays true to form. It begins with Joe's signature scream, as it should. And then it just... it has this really cool saxophone break about halfway through, which is somewhat unexpected. They also do this song in about 2 minutes, which I can't remember if it's that short on the London Calling album or not. But I was like, this is really, really went by really quickly. And yet there's still a lot going on in it. And it's, you know, enjoyable and it's a lot of fun. So I'd be like, it's Brand New Cadillac. How could it not be? But I do think they shortened it for this concert. It doesn't feel as long as it did on the album, but I could be wrong. And the vocals are really good in that version, and the accordion player, James Fernley, his accordion is phenomenal. Like, really good accordion playing throughout the song, really on all the songs on the whole thing. They have an excellent accordion player, so top, you know, recommendations for that. I mean, really, all their players are enjoyable and good, and, you know, worthy of mention. In fact, there's an interview on YouTube with Joe from 1988, so he hasn't even filled in as frontman yet. He's just filled in for Phil Chevron on rhythm guitar, and he does, like, a breakdown of each band member and has, you know, something positive to say about everybody, while not just being, like, an insipid nice guy, which is just, you know, the charm of Joe Strummer. As I elaborated on at length in my Kindness Calling episode, which is all about him and, like, my most listened to episode, so I feel like I must have done something right there. So, it's, you know, check out that interview if you have an interest. It's a really good interview. It's sort of a introduction to the Pogues by Joe Strummer. And then the other two songs that are Clash songs, not Clash cover songs, that made the show, well, the first one is London Calling, which Joe literally introduces with, "Are there any Clash veterans here, or fans," or something like that, but he's like, "Clash veterans, you know, present," something like that. I can't remember the exact wording, but he refers to them as Clash veterans. I'm like, the Clash hasn't been gone that long. Seriously, you make it sound like no one wants to, you know, knows who the Clash is anymore, which, I mean, you'd have to... I mean, I'm willing to bet 300 years from now somebody knows who the Clash is. If not, they seriously should, because, well, they're the only band that matters. and have been for quite some time. But, you know, it's sort of that line and some of the other things, you know, surrounding this. Like, if you've watched the Future is Unwritten documentary on Joe Strummer, he's still sort of getting back on his feet at this point, and the Pogues are giving him that opportunity to perform live. So he may actually be a little bit, you know, uncertain about whether anybody knows who he is or knows who the Clash is. And according to some people close to Joe, playing live with the Pogues did sort of help him get back on the path to getting, like, his confidence to play music and perform again. So, if nothing else, even if you despise Irish folk music, which, like, I guess you hate puppies too. No, seriously, Irish folk music is so fun. I don't know how people can't like it, but some people don't, including my dad. But anyways, I love it. But anyways, so even if you don't like the Pogues style of music, you have to at least appreciate them for giving Joe the confidence to, like, pursue more musical ambitions again and sort of come out of his, you know, sulking shell that he had went into post-Clash. So, all said, you know, we gotta appreciate it for that at least. But the other song that they do is such a standout track. I cannot praise the version of Straight to Hell that Joe does with the Pogues enough. It's not just a standout Joe track or a standout Clash track or anything. It's one of the standout tracks from all 22 from this concert. It's amazing and I love it to death. It's really good. Joe's voice is excellent. It sort of builds up in this almost volcanic crescendo towards, you know, about a minute or two before the end, and it just erupts, and it's so his voice is just amazing. The passion that he gets through in it, like, I may even like it better than the original Clash version, which is saying something because, I mean, obviously Straight to Hell's such a, you know, banging song. It's really good, but the way it's played with the Pogues, with the penny whistle, just adds to the haunting part of it, while Joe's, you know, vocal explosion just grabs you, like forces your attention to it. I mean, everything from the heavy breathing section to his scream, you know, when he's screaming Straight to Hell, everything is like pure fire, 10 out of 10, amazing on this track. Like, I cannot express my praise for it enough. Like I said, it's not just a standout track of the Clash songs or of the songs that Joe sings lead on in this set. It's a standout song from the set on its own. Like, it's right up there with Phil Chevron's song Thousands Are Sailing, which is well worth checking out, even though Joe doesn't sing on it. Like, it's probably my favorite song on in this set list that Joe doesn't sing. And one of my favorite songs, period, Joe sung or not, like it's that. The other good song that Joe doesn't sing is Star of the County Down, but that's mainly because I'm very partial to that song anyways. I did a Thundercrack Thursday episode on it too. I've always liked it. Wouldn't possibly have to do with a girl in the song being named Rosie or anything. Not at all. And I love Irish folk music, but moving on. Like I said, Straight to Hell. In like this whole 7-minute monster version, there's not a bad moment, there's not a false step. It's just so good. I can't express it enough. Like, check it out. Like, top pick off this whole album. Just stand out. Now, the standout songs by the Pogues that Joe sings on this album, there's a couple. The two that start out the concert, If I Should Fall from Grace with God and Sayonara, are really good. Like, they definitely set the tempo, which, like, if the set list for this Live in London concert was the same in the Offenbach, you know, same order of songs as it was for the Offenbach Germany concert, then I can see why there were very few naysayers after the first two songs, when, you know, still screaming for Shane. Like, I can't understand how anybody be could. I mean, obviously, unless you're just very loyal to your band, which I understand that. You know, unless that was the case, I can't understand anybody still being unconvinced of Joe's ability to fill the frontman slot, because he does a really good job. Those two Pogue songs, he completely knocks out of the park. I love Sayonara. It's a very fun song. Very upbeat, makes you want to dance. If I Should Fall from Grace with God is similar too, and it's, you know, like one of the big Pogue staples, period. You know, this era or any era, pretty much since it came out. I think that, if I remember correctly, that's like their biggest hit they ever had. At least certainly from like the Shane McGowan era. So, really, really good song there. And in Sayonara is off of the Hell's Ditch album, which Joe produced. As is Rain Street and Sunny Side of the Street, which are another two really good songs that Joe sings on this, that are Pogue songs that he does. I really enjoy those two. Rain Street is a lot of fun. It and Sayonara are probably my two favorite songs by the Pogues that Joe sings in this concert. And then the other song that he does a really stellar performance of that isn't on the Hell's Ditch album that he produced is Turkish Song of the Damned, which there's a lot to sing in that song. It's very rapid pace, very, fast firing lyrics, which that's another fun thing to check out for the songs that Joe doesn't sing. There's a couple of them, but I'm not sure if a rap artist could say words that fast. Like, they're really quick fire, like machine gunning out the words, and yet they're still mostly intelligible, which is really, I mean, it's impressive as heck. I was like, this isn't even a rap, but let's do a words per minute test on this, because they might have, this might be up there with Guns and Ships from Hamilton at this point. It's a very quick pace, lyrical delivery going on in some of the songs. Turkish Song of the Damned and Sick Bed of Kunc Allan are probably the two that Joe sings that have the fastest lyrical delivery, but there's some songs in this concert that Joe doesn't sing, that one of the other band members of the Pogues sings, that are even faster. It's crazy. I'm like, this is seriously impressive stuff. But yeah, Turkish Song of the Damned is also fun. It's got a really sea shanty vibe to it lyrically, and I enjoy it immensely. Speaking of lyrics, all those songs I mentioned were either written or co-written by Shane McGowan, which in that 1988 interview that I mentioned where Joe Strummer is talking about the Pogues individually, as well as his collaboration with them, he has nothing but like the highest praise to say about Shane McGowan, saying that he's a poet and one of the finest writers of the century, which, like, that's not bad praise coming from an even finer writer of any century. Like, I'm not here to go on excessively about Joe Strummer, but I am here to go on excessively about Joe Strummer because Joe's songwriting, the amount of, well, I mean, him and Mick Jones too, we can't leave Mick Jones out, but really the lyrical writing in The Clash was mainly Joe, especially for the seriouser songs. So, like, the amount of information he gave his audience if they were willing to listen, it can't even be like it when it comes to educating your audience, he surpasses Bob Dylan. Like, you're so informed for listening to the Clash songs when you really listen to them. And even with his solo stuff and the Mescaleros and all that, just they make you think. So for somebody of that high caliber of songwriting skill themselves to go and name, someone else as one of the finest writers of the century, like, I'm not gonna lie, I love Joe's taste in music over here, because I'm like, you're over here, at least songwriting specifically, because he's over here complimenting Shane McGowan, and I do enjoy the Pogues, but he also, as I mentioned, I think last week, no, the week before that, when I did the episode on Bruce Springsteen's Human Touch and Lucky Town albums, Joe's also a huge Bruce fan and wrote like a giant fanboy letter about it to Mojo Magazine. So, like, I like his taste in music, and I like Joe's music itself, and this collaboration with the Pogues, not the least of which. It's like a marriage of two of my favorite things. It's like when I talked about the Minstrel Boy song in my Minstrel Boy episode and Joe Strummer's cover of it with the Mescaleros. And it's just like, Pinch Me, Is This Real? One of my favorite artists, who's not an Irish folk music artist, is doing an Irish folk song. And in this case, he's doing several Irish folk songs, albeit they are modern. I'm not gonna lie, I was a little sad when I listened to Star of the County Down in this concert, and it wasn't Joe singing. I was like, come on, why can't he sing my favorite song? So unfair. But that's like my only complaint with this concert. I was like, Joe didn't sing my fave song, so I'm sad about that. But it's still a really good version, which, funny, I was driving to like church the other day blasting the Star of the County Down version from this album. And like this Corvette just looks over at me like with the in there they've got their top down. Like I'm it probably expected me to be blasting, like I don't know, something that wasn't Irish folk punk. They looked duly confused when I'm just headbanging the Star of the County Down. I was like, no, y'all don't understand how much I love this song. But that is my fun antidote. Listening to this album has, inspired me to get back into dancing more and even try and, renewed my love for Irish folk music even more than it already had been renewed by talking about Irish folk songs all of last month. Between those two things, I'm like, okay, I might actually have to learn at least a few basic steps for Irish step dance because I want to dance and I have tap dance shoes, so. Anyways, all those side tangents aside, I highly recommend that you check out this album. It's really good. Really, really good album. Like, you can find it on YouTube in parts. I think you can, if you search it song by song, you might be able to find the entire thing. It is on Spotify as part of the Pogues 30 Years Anthology. The Live in London Record Store Day release is not on Spotify. And I've never been so tempted to spend like $70 on Discogs to buy it on record. But I must resist. I'm like, I want it, but no, I can't justify spending that kind of money. So somebody else spend the money and enjoy listening to it on vinyl because I am too poor to do so. And until next time, just listen to the album wherever you may find it. Buy it on vinyl if you're financially able to do so, because I can't. And be kind to each other and rock on.